In June 2026, the earth beneath northern Venezuela tore open twice. First came a magnitude 7.2 earthquake near the town of Umer. Less than a minute later, before anyone could catch their breath, a second quake measuring magnitude 7.5 struck nearby. Geologists call this rare pairing a doublet, two large earthquakes on related faults rupturing almost back-to-back. The results were devastating. More than 2,295 people died. Over 3,300 were injured. Roughly 250 buildings collapsed, many crushing the people inside before they understood what was happening. Venezuela was not a place most of the world thought of as earthquake country. That assumption cost lives. The buildings were not built to shake and stand. The people were not trained to react. And the faults did not care what anyone believed. The Venezuela doublet is a warning written in another language, and the United States has regions that are just as unprepared, just as complacent, and sitting on faults just as dangerous. The lesson is uncomfortable but clear. The deadliest earthquakes are not always the strongest. They are the ones nobody expected, the wake-up call. To understand why the Venezuela earthquakes killed so many people so quickly, you have to understand what a doublet actually is. Most earthquakes happen as a single main shock followed by smaller aftershocks. The main shock releases the built-up stress, and the aftershocks are the ground settling. A doublet is different. It is two large earthquakes of similar size striking close together in both time and location. The first quake does not relieve the pressure. Instead, it loads stress onto a nearby fault, and that second fault gives way. When that happens, the damage does not add up. It multiplies. Here is why. The magnitude 7.2 quake cracked walls, weakened foundations, and knocked structures off balance. Buildings that were damaged but still standing had no time to be evacuated or inspected. Then the magnitude 7.5 struck. Structures already wounded by the first shock collapsed in the second. People who survived the first quake were trapped or killed in the second. Rescue crews could not even begin their work because the threat was still active. The injured could not be moved. Hospitals that took damage in the first event were overwhelmed before the second one hit. But the magnitude alone does not explain the body count. Earthquakes of this size happen around the world fairly often, and many of them kill far fewer people. The difference in Venezuela was preparation, or the lack of it. The region did not have strong, consistently enforced seismic building codes. Much of the housing was built from heavy concrete and masonry that crumbles violently when shaken. Most people had never practiced what to do during a quake because they did not believe a major one would happen to them. That is the real lesson, and it is the thread that runs through everything that follows. The danger was not the magnitude. It was the gap between the threat and the expectation. A community that does not believe it is at risk does not build for the risk, does not plan for the risk, and does not survive the risk. Venezuela was caught off guard. The question every American should ask is simple. Where in our own country are we making the exact same mistake, the New Madrid blind spot? The strongest parallel to Venezuela sits right in the middle of the United States, in a place almost no one associates with earthquakes. It is called the New Madrid Seismic Zone, and it stretches across parts of Missouri, Tennessee, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Illinois. Most people who live there have never felt a serious quake. That is exactly the problem. A history written in shaking ground. The winter of 1811 and 1812 proved what this region can do. Over a period of about 3 months, a series of massive earthquakes struck near the town of New Madrid, Missouri. According to the United States Geological Survey, the largest shocks are estimated to have reached magnitudes in the range of 7.5 to 7.7. The shaking was so violent that it rang church bells hundreds of miles away in places like Boston and Charleston. The Mississippi River reportedly ran backward in places, and the land itself was reshaped. Because the area was sparsely populated at the time, the death toll was low. That fact has lulled the region into a dangerous sense of safety. The modern risk. Today, millions of people live in the New Madrid zone. Cities like Memphis and St. Louis sit within its reach. The Federal Emergency Management Agency and the United States Geological Survey have both warned that a repeat of the 1811 to 1812 sequence would cause catastrophic damage and economic loss. The reason is partly geological and partly human. The solid bedrock of the central United States carries seismic energy much farther than the broken-up ground of the West Coast, meaning a single quake here can damage a far larger area. The human side is worse. Many older buildings across the region were constructed long before anyone took earthquake risk seriously, and seismic building codes in much of the central United States remain weaker and less consistently enforced than those on the West Coast. Public awareness is thin. People who have never felt the ground move do not plan for the day it does. What sits on top of the fault? The New Madrid Zone is not just homes and offices. It is a backbone of American commerce. The Mississippi River carries enormous volumes of grain, fuel, and goods through the heart of the country. Major pipelines cross the region carrying natural gas and petroleum. Interstate corridors and rail lines that connect the eastern and western halves of the nation run directly over it. A major quake here would not only kill and injure locals. It could choke national supply chains for months. This is the American Venezuela, a place that does not think it is at risk, sitting on a fault that has already proven it can deliver. The Cascadia Reckoning. If New Madrid is the blind spot, the Pacific Northwest is the giant in the room. Off the coast, running from Northern California up through Oregon, Washington, and into British Columbia, lies the Cascadia Subduction Zone. This is where one massive slab of the Earth's crust is slowly being forced beneath another. When that pressure releases all at once, it does not produce an ordinary earthquake. It produces a megathrust event. The scale of the threat. To put it in perspective, the Venezuela doublet involved quakes around magnitude 7.5 and 7.2. The Cascadia subduction zone is capable of producing an earthquake of magnitude 9.0 or greater. Because the magnitude scale is not linear, that difference is staggering. A magnitude 9 releases hundreds of times more energy than a magnitude 7.5 and can shake violently for several minutes instead of seconds. The United States Geological Survey and Oregon State University researchers have documented that the last great Cascadia quake struck in January 1700, an event so large it sent a tsunami across the Pacific Ocean that was recorded in Japan. Overdue and underprepared. Scientists studying the geologic record have found evidence of repeated great earthquakes along this zone over thousands of years. The scientific consensus, supported by the USGS and regional agencies, is that another major Cascadia event is not a matter of if but when. Many researchers describe the region as overdue based on the historical pattern. Despite this, large portions of the population and infrastructure are not ready. Older buildings, bridges, and water systems were built before the full scale of the threat was understood. The tsunami problem. Cascadia carries a second deadly punch that Venezuela did not face on the same scale. A megathrust quake here would likely generate a tsunami that could reach coastal communities within minutes. People along the coast from Northern California to British Columbia would have very little time to move to high ground. Combine the shaking, the duration, the tsunami, and the millions of people living in cities like Portland, Seattle, and Vancouver, and you have a disaster scenario that dwarfs what unfolded in Venezuela. The difference is that we have been warned in advance. The Cascade Principle. The most important lesson from Venezuela is not about any single fault. It is about the nature of disaster itself. The doublet showed us that catastrophes rarely arrive as one clean, contained event. They come in stages. They compound. They knock over the first domino, and then the rest follow. Think about how the Venezuela disaster actually unfolded. The first quake damaged buildings. The second quake collapsed them. Damaged hospitals could not treat the flood of injured. Blocked roads slowed rescue. Each problem made the next problem worse. We can call this the Cascade Principle. One failure leads to another, and the total damage is far greater than any single event would suggest. Why this matters before the event? This is the heart of preparedness. You cannot build readiness in the middle of a cascade. You build it before. Once the ground starts moving, it is too late to learn the safe spots in your home, too late to buy water, too late to figure out how your family will reconnect if phones go down. The people who survive disasters well are almost always the ones who prepared during calm times, when preparation felt unnecessary. Three forms of realism. For those living in at-risk regions, earthquake preparedness comes down to three honest steps. First is regional risk awareness. Know whether you live near New Madrid, Cascadia, or another seismic zone. Do not assume your area is safe just because you have never felt a quake. Second is structural realism. Understand how your home was built and whether it can handle shaking. Older brick and masonry buildings are especially dangerous. Securing heavy furniture, water heaters, and shelves can save lives for very little cost. Third is personal preparedness. Keep stored water, food, medications, and supplies to last at least several days, because a cascade can cut you off from help for longer than you expect. A suburban household near any of these zones can take meaningful action this month. Practice drop, cover, and hold on. Map two ways out of every room. Agree on a family meeting point and an out-of-state contact. Anchor the tall furniture. None of this requires panic. It requires only the willingness to believe what the science already tells us, before the ground forces the lesson on us the way it did in Venezuela. Venezuelans did not die from a uniquely powerful earthquake. The country suffered because the threat outran the expectation. That same gap exists across parts of the United States right now, from the quiet farmland over New Madrid to the crowded coastlines of Cascadia. The science is public. The history is documented. The only missing piece is our willingness to act before the shaking starts. Preparedness is not fear. It is respect for what the ground can do. Learn your regional risk, look honestly at the buildings you live and work in, and store the basics your family would need to stand alone for several days. The faults will not warn us politely. Use the warning we have already been given.